Good morning, and welcome to the Thursday COVID Brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. The time is 9.01 a.m., and let's check in on the panel. Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, do you read me?
Loud and clear. Good morning.
Good morning. How about Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services and Homer Public Health Center?
Good morning, team. Kathleen, you're loud and clear.
Thanks. Peggy Erkineff, Kenai Peninsula Borough School District.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. And Jenny Carroll for the City of Homer.
Hi, Kathleen.
Good morning to everyone. Thank you all so much. Somebody's got to repeat. Let's see who it is. Oh, I found it. Okay. So I have a couple of things here, but I want to start with Nurse Lorne with just the numbers for Alaska. Can you give us a status report?
Sure thing. As of yesterday at noon, the state of Alaska is sitting at 5,364 cases. And, you know, out of about those roughly 5,400 cases so far during COVID-19, about 39 or 40% have recovered. We've had a grand total of 230 hospitalizations so far and 39 deaths for Alaska residents.
Thanks, Nurse Lauren. And I'm going to come back to you for some other information in a little while, but I want to go right to Peggy Erkineff from Kenai Peninsula Borough School District to get some ideas about how it's going. I see that the Central Peninsula has now moved out of the high risk level into medium risk level. Does that mean that there are students in classrooms on the Central Peninsula now?
Great question. And it's something that I want to make sure to make a distinction about. So to help parents and our staff plan for when they need to be at school, as well as teaching and the delivery of education to be 100% remote, when the cases were really spiking up right before school started in Central Peninsula, the superintendent made a decision to not start on-site at school learning for students until the day after Labor Day, so that's next Tuesday, depending on what the case counts did, so the parents could plan for that 2 weeks. So operationally, we're not starting school for children until Tuesday the 8th, although we have had pre-K and kindergartners and some of our students that are in special education in classes, which they would be anywhere in high risk because we've got less people in the buildings. But we also did have sports resume as soon as we dropped into that medium or intermediate risk. So they operate under the ASA, the Alaska Athletic Association's guidelines. So we do have sports practices happening is if we're in medium risk, but the kids aren't all back at school. Their first day will be next Tuesday.
And let's look at the Southern Peninsula, because we've been in, down here in the Homer area, we've been in the low-risk category all along.
Correct. And so that's been an interesting conversation with our principals. So they've been sharing back and forth for the principals who opened with all the new protocols. So Southern Peninsula, Homer area, opened school for students. So they've been giving some tips to the principals who haven't yet welcomed students back completely into their buildings. But they've also been saying, what's it like when you're doing the 100% remote with just we call them the littles, but the pre-K and kindergartners in your buildings. So great job, Southern Peninsula, and also Seward area that's been open. We did have some issues this week in Nanwalek with water, and so those students have been 100% remote learning, and I'm hoping that they'll be back in school as well. I needed a check, and I didn't, if they're back in Friday, but I think that they won't be back in until we know we've got water and can do the sanitization. So that's for health and safety in the school building. So they've been having 100% remote in Nanwalek.
Okay, and what about the food program? Is the food program up and running for kids who aren't in school, in classes?
It is. So all across the peninsula, we've been having lunches, the get it and go lunches for anybody who's 100% remote. Everybody needs to make their order on the Friday before the upcoming week by noon, and then it's a once a week pickup, and that's on Wednesday mornings. So anyone in the Homer area that wants their get it and go meals, they need to call by noon on Friday, and then they'll do a pickup for their weekly meals on Wednesday.
Thank you. And is there any other information you feel like needs to get out right now? I want you to stay on the line because we're going to open up for questions. But is there anything on your list today?
Monday's a holiday for all of our schools, and the superintendent asked me to make sure to share and invite people to really think about what their actions will be. It's not time to let down the physical distancing, wearing a mask if you're in big groups, washing your hands. It's easy to open schools. It's harder to keep them open. You're doing a great job down in the Homer area. But any one school at any time, if we have an outbreak, could close that school and our numbers could jump. So we are still living in a pandemic. We're doing a great job on the Kenai, but that doesn't mean to let down our guard about what we need to do and everybody needs to do.
I appreciate the reminder that because numbers seem to be low, very low right now, that what we should do is keep doing what we're doing.
Exactly.
And so if anyone has a question for Peggy Erkineff, Nurse Lauren Carroll, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, or Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, the number to call is 235-7721. Or you can email your question to info@kbbi.org. Nurse Lauren, I have, you sent me a prompt that you were ready to talk about COVID vaccine planning. And I'd love to hear what that means.
Oh, yep. Sure thing. And also, all of the folks on the line here have been a part of this collaborative effort. So, you know, these folks might want to chime in too. But
okay, you guys jump in whenever.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, kind of from my lens, I took on my first state job in 2012 up in Nome, the Nome Public Health Center. And back then, we were doing pod planning back then too. And by pod, I mean point of dispensing. And that particular plan is built at the local level by local partners with the overall goal of providing medical countermeasures to everyone in the community if needed. So what I mean by medical countermeasures is like vaccine or other meds that need to be distributed very quickly to the entire population. And that's to help the folks at the local level connect the dots between federal resources like medicine and the local need. So back in 2012, we were, very much on our way to building these pod plans or open pod plans. You know, I showed up in Homer in 2014, and at that time, the public health nurses that were here at the Homer Public Health Center had been working on that plan for years, along with the City of Homer and other partners like South Peninsula Hospital. So that plan has come a long ways. And we've actually had quite a few full-scale exercises, one of which I was just a small part of in December of 2018. And really happy to say that a couple years ago when we did that, it went over very well.
Okay, thanks. Now, while I have you, can you update us on contact tracing efforts with you? And you have you're working with a crew of how many?
Oh, yeah. I've actually been, kind of concentrating my limited resources on contact tracing within a statewide matrix or a staffing plan to cover contact tracing and index case interviews throughout the state. So this includes all 16 public health centers, but also the three grantees of public health nursing services that cover our partners up in the North Slope Borough, Manilik, up in Kotzebue, and the municipality of Anchorage. And kind of what that looks and feels like is there's one particular PHN, public health nurse, COVID lead, that manages 5 to 6 team captains. And each of these team captains has 10 to 15 team members to manage index case interviews and contact tracing throughout the entire day. So like today, for example, there's roughly 40 or 50 people on the phones and computers right now working with folks at the local level.
Okay, thanks a lot. Now, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, I want to ask you to talk about the numbers, but first I want to remind people that if you'd like to ask a question, the number is 235-7721, or email your question to info@kbbi.org. So, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, can we talk about the local numbers in terms of testing?
You bet. Well, good morning. So as far as hospital testing goes, we have done 7,892 swabs, and of those, 7,685 are negative. And, boy, as of today, still only 113 have been positive and 94 pending. And so when I pause on that 113, because that puts us at just a day short of 2 weeks since we have tested a positive, had a positive test swab here. So that's really great as far as, you know, a glimpse of community spread or not, and how the virus is or is not transmitting throughout the community. And it's those low numbers that have allowed the schools to open on the Lower Peninsula. Now, remember, that's just hospital-based testing, and there are other places to test throughout the peninsula and throughout the state.
But where, I haven't seen any state numbers since the 27th for any new cases in the Homer area.
Right. There's been three total Southern Peninsula cases in the last 2 weeks, and it's that 14-day number that is one of the drivers for schools, just one of them. And yes, so it has been some time, and as of tomorrow it will be 2 weeks since we've had a positive. So that's really great. And picture this like an accordion. Like, you know, as we learn more, as we see lower transmission throughout the community, as we see places getting their protocols and their systems really good and solidified, then you can kind of open a little bit more. And so I will say that that's one of the things that the hospital is looking at right now, is expanding our visitation for hospitalized patients. So right now our visitation was very tight, and that was based on some of the earlier summer numbers and activity, COVID activity. And so we were at just one visitor per stay. So if you came and you were hospitalized for 3 or 4 days, you were only allowed one person, that same person, to visit you. If this low transmission, if this continues, we are looking at relaxing that a little bit, because if there's, you know, no activity in the community, then we might be able to relax those guidelines.
Thanks, Dorotha. So a question just came in. Caller Jane asks, I think I'm going to start with Nurse Lauren with this one, if you don't mind, and everyone feel free to weigh in if you like. Caller Jane asks, how do you respond to those who believe that masks are ineffective due to the small size of the virus, or I guess low incidence?
Yeah, that's a good question, and that's one that we've all been asking ourselves. I'll just give one short perspective, is that, you know, CDC is doing a lot of work, and I can't really speak for them, but one thing seems to be certain is one thing that's universal. It's probably safe to say that we really all want folks to be the safest and healthiest possible. And in terms of masks, from the best that we know from today's perspective, masks is one of the most important mechanisms to help prevent the spread of the virus from one host to the next. And that's going to be key for ending the pandemic.
Thank you, Nurse Lauren. Anyone else want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, this is Jerosa. I would like to maybe kind of reframe it and think about it as the answers in the question, in that it's kind of like the chicken or the egg. Well, you know, maybe numbers are low because we're all wearing masks. So, it, like, again, it's that accordion thing, that if we all, the majority of folks, I shouldn't say we all, many people in the Southern Peninsula are wearing masks when they're in large groups. And so that it might be the driver of the low numbers. So it's kind of that that maybe that's the reason that the numbers are low.
You know, I guess one more thing might be is that from today's perspective, here's some numbers. And these numbers are part of an imperfect system. So these are only representative of the reported cases. But as of yesterday, there's been 116 reported cases on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. And, you know, out of those 116, about 15 or 16% are thought to be community acquired. But about 45% are thought to be secondary transmission. And what we mean by secondary transmission is mostly like household or close contacts like that. And only about 2.5% of the 116 cases are thought to be related to travel. So it's just kind of a breakdown of what we think we're seeing on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. And, you know, these aren't numbers that aren't indicative of every case, because there's really not a mechanism to count every single case, but it gives us kind of some meaningful things to think about.
Well, I was just corrected, because the question is not about the small incidence, the low incidence of the virus. They're talking about the small about the size of the virus, that it would be too small for a regular mask to prevent passage out. What do you think about that, Nurse Lauren?
Yeah, that's a brilliant question. You know, the thing, I oftentimes kind of like to compare cold viruses and coronaviruses with tuberculosis. And the main difference between those two is COVID-19 and cold viruses aren't thought to be airborne, but they're transmitted through respiratory droplets in the air. So these the virus particles themselves are within large respiratory droplets as you breathe or sing or when you're running. And the thing about these large respiratory droplets that contain COVID viruses is that they drop out of the air, most of them within 4 feet of the individual. And then if you have a mask on, that mask is thought to catch even more of those. And that's how transmission is prevented. Now, mycobacterium and bacteria related to tuberculosis is a little different. Those are thought to be airborne. So the particles are so small they can float around in the air and be maintained in the airspace for quite a long time. So the mode of transmission is different. And a mask on individuals is thought to be helpful for sure.
Thank you, Nurse Lauren. Ryan is on the line, I think. Ryan, do you read?
Yeah, Kathleen. Thanks for accepting my call there. I always enjoy your show. Yeah, I just was listening to your show. I just calling in, let you know, the folks know, I got a letter to the editor published about masks, came out today, and the title is With Respect for Masks. It's only one paragraph. I could read it to you guys if you like.
Go ahead, Ryan.
All right. Hey, with respect for masks, in my life, one of my guiding principles is to have and show respect for anyone and everyone that I encounter. Respect for their safety and well-being, respect for their dignity, health, and safety. My point here is to say that I do not wear a mask during this pandemic for my health. I wear a mask out of respect for other people's health. I have to believe that everyone in our community has at least one person they love or respect. I think Forrest Gump said it best when he said, "That's all I have to say about that."
Thank you, Ryan. Thanks. I really appreciate you calling in.
Well, your show kind of inspired me to write that, because it's as simple as that.
Okay, Ryan. Thanks.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. So I haven't checked in yet with, thanks to Ryan, by the way, I haven't checked in yet with Jenny Carroll from the city of Homer. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Kathleen.
And I know you had said there was something that you might like to pass on to people this morning.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I will switch gears slightly, and I can give the Small Business Economic Relief Grant update from the city. So far, we have approved 294 applications from local businesses and just distributed about $882,000 in grants, which is just less than a third of the funds that were originally appropriated to the program by council. The numbers of applications as each week passes has gone down. So I just wanted to encourage Homer businesses that have suffered any kind of financial loss due to COVID-19 to consider applying. There's still 3 weeks in the application period. And, you know, as summer activity starts to slow here and we move into fall, hoping to see some more applications come in as business owners find more time to apply. I want to let everybody know they can go to the City of Homer website, cityofhomer-ak.gov with the button on the front of the page there that says COVID Economic Relief. And that would be where you go. And if you have any questions, you can certainly call Jody Masty. Her number is 299-5978. On that same page coming up next week, you will find, viewers will find three other programs being rolled out for nonprofits, child care organizations, and social service organizations, which is kind of a combination of all the different kinds of businesses, but who need additional funding beyond what was provided in the other programs. And that'll all be explained online, and we can delve into it in a longer format in a future show if you'd like. But I just wanted to give people an update on that, and also to let people know, if you haven't heard, the state has also a small business and nonprofit Alaska Cares grant program. And the state just announced that as of September 2nd, it appears that their State CARES Act grant program, more people have applied for funds than will be available through the program. And people are still welcome to apply to the state program, but just to let you know, if you do submit an application there, it's possible that your application will not be funded just because of lack of available funds. So I wanted to give an update to everybody on the state program if you hadn't heard, but that the city program still has plenty of funding, and it's open till September 25th for small businesses.
Thanks, Jenny. So this question just came in by email. It's no name. I think it's for Dorotha. As a visitor to Alaska, I have followed the Alaska DHS guidelines for pre-testing before my arrival to Homer, and I agreed to minimal contact with others before taking a follow-up test after 7 days. Why is the state of Alaska travel voucher not valid at South Peninsula Hospital? I've been told I can only get the follow-up test using the voucher in Kenai at Capstone. If I get the follow-up retest at South Peninsula Hospital, will I have to pay for it? And will DHS accept those results?
I am so sorry that this person has been given misinformation. We do honor travel vouchers, and I am happy to help connect them to the testing. I'm not sure where they got that information. We are an imperfect system as far as communication, as we have 7 days a week, different staff working the phones and working the swab station. So my apologies. Yes, we do take travel vouchers, and they can call me 399-6212, and I will personally put them through to the COVID nurse. And the COVID line is 235-0235, and what you reach when you call that is kind of an information line, and then from there you can ask to be transferred to the COVID nurse. And that COVID nurse is staffed 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day. We offer testing, and that nurse is on staff.
Thank you, Dorotha. Thanks for clearing that up. So you can use your voucher at South Peninsula Hospital and call the hospital, and they will set you up.
That's right. And I would let folks know where some confusion happens is that people use the term rapid test, and they'll call and they'll say, I need a rapid test. And we might say, oh, I'm sorry, you can't get that here. And the rest of the sentence is, but you can get a test here, and we will have it processed at the State of Alaska lab, and that might take 3 to 5 days, depending on the backup at the lab. And some folks really want that rapid test, and that's just not available to everyone. So there sometimes is a little loss of understanding in those two types of tests.
Gotcha. Thanks, Dorotha. Peggy Erkineff, I've left you hanging for a little while. I want to thank you for being available this week, and I'm hoping we can check in with you again next Thursday once things are rolling again in the Central Peninsula, or possibly rolling again, And do you have anything else on your list today, Peggy Arkaneff from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District?
I do. And I've emailed and reached out to all of our principals to ask them if there's anything they wanted me to convey. And I forgot something really important.
Oh, what was
we
that?
We need substitutes in the school district, and I'm going to have an easy spot on our website by later today so that if somebody has some free time and they would like to get trained and become a substitute in one of our schools, it's going to take a whole village right now. With some of our teachers out and our staff out, we really are short on substitutes. And so to get us through this year, we need help. So if anybody that's listening has ever thought about becoming a substitute in the school, I'll have information on our website to easily start that process, and we'll get you streamlined, and then you can connect with your favorite neighborhood school and become a substitute in that school. Also today, I've been working on, there's so much COVID information out with the school district, so I'm creating a new webpage that I'm calling our COVID-19 hub, and so I've got icons, there's about 15 of them for the most common questions people have that somebody can easily see. I want to know more about how to call Nurse Iris to report that my child has a positive case, or what do I need to know about those get it and go meals? So that I will have up online tonight, and I'm calling it our COVID-19 hub for KPBSD. So that'll be making it a little bit easier for people to find information that they need rapidly.
And will the other headings now be under that, like in that, on that page, like will schools open and the Start Smart plan and sports and activity bar, they'll all be inside on that page?
I'm going to make everything right there so you can go to that one page and just look for, you're going to see an icon, like a graphic, and then big words for sports and activities or meals, or all of our schools have been redesigning their websites. So 42 school websites or symptom-free school protocol. Or I'm also putting up all the templates that if we had a positive case and somebody did have exposure or it's just general information we'll give out, all those letter templates will be there under communications
and
for
Peggy,
a positive case. So people can see that.
Peggy, a question just came in to info@kbbi.org. Will the school district be offering sick leave for substitutes if they're exposed while subbing?
I do not have an answer to that, but I can get that answer, and our HR department would know that.
Okay, and then we'll get that information out. We'll have a conversation exclusively about the need for people to work through the school district and jobs that are available. So that we can address a number of questions people might have.
Perfect.
So, Nurse Lauren Carroll, do you have any final recommendations for the weekend or just in general?
Oh yeah, maybe a couple thoughts. You know, the caller, the traveler to Homer, or the Alaska traveler that called in or had a question, it just kind of making me think about how, you know, these Alaska mandates, they're not really obstacles to normal life, but they're kind of one piece of a roadmap for us to get back to faster and more sustainable recovery from a pandemic. So it's kind of neat to hear that. And I think I also heard a question, the last part of the caller's question was regarding will DHSS accept those laboratory results?
Yes.
And in answer, that in general, the answer is yes. The Department of Health and Social Services will accept and honor any test result that comes from laboratories and test procedures and collection procedures that are in line with best practices. So, in short, sure thing.
Thank you, Nurse Lauren. And Jenny Carroll, any last words for you from the city?
Just one, I would like to let everyone know Labor Day Monday is a holiday at city offices, so business services will be closed that day, but will be open Tuesday. And I'd like to echo what Peggy mentioned early on in her report about everyone keeping up the mitigation efforts over the holiday when you get together with friends and family. If people are outside your bubble, please mask up and keep that 6-foot distance. And thanks to Ryan for sharing his letter and reminding us to keep caring for each other in the community as we go through this. It makes a huge difference health-wise and just how we feel going through this. So thanks for that reminder from the community. Appreciate it a lot.
And Dorotha Ferraro, any last words from South Peninsula Hospital?
Yes, sound check. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. So I more follow-up to the question about testing here at the hospital as well. We are one location that does testing, and we try to be convenient and offer, you know, meet the community needs. And if we're ever not doing that in regards to testing or anything, please call me, 399-6212, and we'll get it right. Or if not, I'll get you to who can get it right. And I want to make sure folks know that there is a testing link on the state website, and it's a map. And everywhere in the state that does COVID testing is on that map. And it's really helpful for folks that are traveling, like maybe out of state, going back to college or anything like that, because, you know, you might have shopping that you're doing in Anchorage, or you're visiting friends or relatives up there before you fly out, or, you know, whatever your situation is. But it's a really helpful tool. It shows anywhere in the state that you can get a COVID test. So it's super helpful. And I just really, really appreciate everybody and thank everybody in the community. I did a call out yesterday for some big umbrellas for our swabbers, and by the end of the day, I had lots of umbrellas for them. So thank you, everybody, for taking care of the hospital staff and the school district staff and the public health and the city and everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorotha Ferraro from South Peninsula Hospital, Jenny Carroll from the City of Homer, Nurse Lauren Carroll from the Homer Public Health Center and the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services, and Peggy Erkineff from the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Thank you all. I have one more piece of news, but I want to go ahead and cut you guys loose because I know you've got a long day ahead of you. Thanks to everybody for being on the COVID brief this morning. Okay, there they go.
If you'd like to make a call.
There they go. But I do have one other piece of news. Thanks to Dennis Weidler, the coordinator at the Homer Community Food Pantry, for sharing their newsletter with me. There is some new information from the food pantry at their August 25th meeting. This is from the newsletter. The pantry board of directors decided to open the food pantry to indoor shopping by clients effective September 28th. Hours of service will change then from noon to 3 p.m. That's effective next Monday, September 7th. Delivery of food boxes will cease after September 14th. That's two Mondays from now. However, elderly, disabled clients or people unable to either visit the food pantry or have someone pick up a box from the drive-thru will be permitted to continue with home delivery. But the food pantry asks that you reapply through whichever provider you work with who set that up for you. The in-house food pantry visits will require a mask. Only a few people at a time can enter the food pantry because they're going to maintain social distancing, and they're going to ask people to spend a limited amount of time inside to make room for all the people who need to get in. For clients who don't feel comfortable entering the building, there will be a limited number of prepackaged boxes available for the drive-through service, and non-food services will still be provided at the exit on the west side. That's the big glass atrium side through the double doors. And that comes from Dennis Weidler, coordinator for the Homer Food Pantry. You can go to homerfoodpantry.org for information, or you can email them questions at homerfoodpantry@gmail.com. Thanks to everyone for your questions and your comments, and to the panelists. This has been the Thursday COVID Brief. I'm Kathleen Gustafson.